Jesus tells a parable about God's generosity, challenging the common assumption that God rewards people according to what they have earned or deserve. The Holy Gospel for today comes from Matthew chapter 20, beginning with the first verse. Jesus said to the disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing idle here all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the gospel of our Lord. So grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Several years ago, during my first year attending Synod Assembly at, here in Western North Dakota, I was challenged in my thinking. You see, one of the topics that came up for discussion that year was the Synod guidelines for pay for deacons. The proposal was that deacons would be paid the same as pastors. Now, this might not seem like much to you, and let me be clear that it's definitely the right thing to do. But initially, my gut reaction was not so positive. In my head, as I often do, yes, I have multiple conversations that go in my head, I was screaming certain things that would have not been appropriate, or they were selfish for me to say out loud. Now, it wasn't a string of expletives or anything like that. It was just that when I started comparing the time and money it took to become a pastor, I was upset. I mean, I was comparing the fact that I had been in seminary at least 1 or 2 years longer, and it took me 2 years longer to finish my degree than most deacons, and that resulted in $1,000 more of tuition. I also started looking at the fact that I had to take more classes to complete my degree. It wasn't fair, was it? I obviously deserved more, didn't I? Thankfully, I didn't say any of this out loud, but when that last thought popped into my head about who deserved what, I stopped. I could not believe how judgmental I was being. I mean, the bottom line was this. Deacons and pastors were both called to the same ministry, a ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. We just carry it out in different ways. It wasn't about who deserved more. It was about both positions being adequately compensated. In that moment, I was ashamed of what I had been thinking, of the comparison I was making. I was ashamed that I somehow thought I deserved more. I also realized as I was thinking about it this week, how much our lives are based on comparison and judgment. It's those comparisons and judgment that bring frustration, doubt, and feelings of inadequacy, or even feelings of superiority. These are the feelings that build up walls or make divisions among us instead of bringing us into the community of God. So Jesus illustrates this in this parable that we heard this morning, and I'm going to share that parable with you again, but in a maybe just a little different way. So there was this man who owned a vineyard, and his operation wasn't huge. It wasn't anything like Ernest and Julio Gallo or anything, but it was quite respectable. And we first see this man on an evening late on the second Sunday in October. September had been a perfect month. It had been hot and dry. The vineyard was looking good. The weather had brought the grapes to the peak of perfection. But he was watching the weather report, and it started telling him that the weather was about to turn, and he needed to get his crop in ASAP, or he may lose some or all of it. So he gets up early on Monday morning to hire workers. He's not the only landowner there, so he's got to watch. He's got to be careful and give a fair wage. He hires his crew. He puts them into a couple old school buses and puts them to work. Just before 9 a.m., he starts to get stressed out because he sees the weather report again, and the wet and cold weather is coming sooner than expected. He just has this one day to get his crop in. So out he goes at 9 a.m. with increasing panic at noon and at 3 to hire more workers. And each time he succeeds, and my pages are out of order, he succeeds in rounding up the available help. Each time he promises top dollar and tells them whatever is right, they will get. It's a huge harvest, though, and with only 1 hour left in the day, the landowner realizes he still needs more help. So he goes out again, but the hiring hall is closed, so he goes to the village square, and all that's left are these folks that didn't want to work, these folks that were standing around idle all day. But he had no choice. He proposes this job to them, and they think, what the heck? I only have an hour. It's only an hour. And they could use a few bucks. Now, I know you're pretty sure what happens each time each group arrives, right? Out in the field, they talk, right, with the other workers. They compare what they've been promised, and they begin to make calculations. They know what they will be making, because if the first group is making $100 for the day, the rest can figure out their percentage, right? But the landowner has a surprise for them, because at the end of the day, he's a really happy man. With his biggest and best harvest picked, he's feeling generous. And so he decides to pay everyone the same. He gives the foreman the pay envelopes and tells him to hand them out backwards, giving the pay first to those who arrived last. Well, we know how this works out. The workers are paid. The comparison begins. And the ones who worked all day are not happy. They feel like they deserve more. They worked more. They were in the sun more. They deserve more. But the landowner wasn't basing his pay on just desserts, but on his goodness and his extraordinary generosity. He had the right to do that, didn't he? Whether those workers liked it or not. But the generosity of the landowner went down like cold Gatorade to those who were last hired, like dishwater to the next to the last, like vinegar for the almost first, and like acid to those who were hired first of all. The first who were hired felt that they had the right to challenge the landowner, but in the end, as we know, it was the landowner's right to be generous or not, because he paid what he had promised. Anger and despair were the result of comparison. So you see, this parable of the laborers and the vineyards is a parable of grace and a parable of judgment. It's about a grace, you see, about God's grace that works by raising the dead, not rewarding the rewardable. And it's about the judgment of those who do not like that this gift of grace is given for all people. We as Lutherans love to talk about God's amazing grace, but we're challenged and maybe even don't like it when someone we deem unforgivable or unworthy experiences that grace. And it's that kind of comparison that takes the joy out of our life as faithful Christians. Judgment and comparison are not the foundation of the kingdom of God, but the amazing and unending grace of Christ is our cornerstone. So one of my favorite authors who writes about the parables is Robert Farrar Capon. He summarizes the idea quite nicely by saying this: "For if the world could have been saved by bookkeeping, it would have been saved by Moses, not Jesus. The law was just fine, and God gave it a good 1,000 years or so to see if anyone could pass a test like that. But when nobody did, when it became perfectly clear that there was not one who was righteous, not one, that both Jews and Gentiles alike were under the power of sin, God gave up on salvation by the books. He canceled everybody's record in the death of Jesus and rewarded us all equally and fully with a new creation in the resurrection of the dead." So you see, God's love, grace, and mercy are for all people. It's a gift that's offered freely. Judgment and condemnation come when we begin to compare ourselves to others instead of loving. And the problem is this: it's so easy to fall into the habit of judgment and comparison. And when we do, we start to notice that maybe there are people that we don't feel deserve, so to speak, God's grace and mercy. Or maybe there are those people who we've heard about, that whole deathbed confession, or people who have done horrific things in their life, but at some point are changed by the grace and mercy of God. It is so hard to wrap our minds around a love as great as this. But here's the deal: we don't deserve it either. You and I don't deserve this love. We don't deserve the grace and mercy and love that God has given to each of us. But yet, it is a gift that's been freely given, not because of anything that we've done, but because of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, we have been set free from the power of death and set free for a purpose, set free to love and serve our neighbors. Because you see, it is a gift just to be given the opportunity to work in the vineyard, to be welcomed into the kingdom of God. So what now? What are we called to do? Quite simply, you see, we are called to love by throwing out this idea that there is a need for eternal bookkeeping. We're called to love by sharing this incredible free gift to others, regardless of who they are, what they have, or what they've accomplished. We are called to love by realizing that all that we have is a gift from God. And because of that, comparison isn't needed, but generosity and kindness is. We are called to love. Amen.